right, everybody. Yes. Oh, yes. We made it. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast, episode 86, or as they say in Spanish, 86. It is 2018. It's a brand new year, but it's still two bros hanging out, talking AdWords, telling the truth, being good guys, and we're just here to grow the show, and we appreciate everything. And last week, Chris, let's do a little truthful check here. I put a little effort into that best of episode. Did you happen to listen to it?
No.
Okay, good. I was banking on you not.
Okay.
And bash you hardcore, Chris.
Okay. Did you? I did not listen to it at all. I have no idea. I'm not a subscriber of my own podcast, you know, because I'm here. So I just don't even subscribe.
I did about 8 minutes of content for the show.
Oh, well.
Talked about the importance of conversion tracking.
Wow. Thank you.
So, Chris, today we are back and we're talking about probably the number one thing we get asked about by clients.
Yes.
Competition. Should you run ads on your competitors' names? How much are my competitors spending? We're going to get into all of that today. But first, Chris, I want you to go to Google.
Okay. Go into Google.
And I want you to type in Chris Schaefer.
Oh, no. Why am I doing this?
Just tell me what you see.
If I click on that?
No, don't. Chris, we're going to find out if you're a good guy. As you know, my website has nothing to do with Chris Schaefer. Super low ad rank. Had to bid a ton to get it to show for the content, bro. Don't kill me right now, Chris. Why don't you read off that ad to the people? So what do people see right now across the great United States of America when they search for Chris Schaefer, one of the top 3% AdWords managers in the country? What do they see, Chris?
Has horrible taste in music. Can't write ad copy at all. Don't settle when selecting your PPC manager. Work for a true winner. Call now.
And what is the URL on my site there?
RothmanPPC.com/not/him. Well done. Well done.
All right, Chris, come on now. I took it easy on you. I only targeted that little area where I know that you live and also my city because I wanted to see the ad. And I have since paused it now. But Chris, I wanted to get across the point to you and to everybody listening that depending on what you want to do with your life, this is a real thing that happens.
Yeah.
And can you just take a second and describe the gut punch that you felt, the lack of control you felt when you search your own name and you saw me just spouting lies?
Lack of control is certainly the best way to describe it. I mean, to see someone else who is showing up on something that you would consider very personal. There's something very personal about Google results for your own name. And that's scary, especially because not only did the ad want to take services away from me, a potential customer, second, it said I had bad taste in music. I mean, so it's a personal attack. So double whammy there, but absolutely. And what a great way to show an example of how competitors can affect and worry AdWords advertisers.
I was doing it this whole time we were talking before the show, talking about our families, talking about our holiday break and asking you how you're doing, making sure you're okay. The whole time I was stealing business from you. So with that said, Chris, before we get into this stuff, where do you come at this? Where are you coming at this from? Is this something you recommend to your clients on every single campaign? Do you even bring it up with them? Where are you coming at the competitor thing from?
Well, I mean, Jason, I think that'll be answered as we go through our points, because I have different thoughts based on different instances. I have no flat answer for everybody. It's always different.
Well, I do. I'm kind of and we'll get into it. I'm not a huge fan. And we'll get into different reasons. But just so everyone knows, you can target different keywords. Now, some of them, Chris, I believe you may get your ads limited, or there's just certain things Google like won't allow you to show on depending on who your competitor is, what's in the name. But for everybody listening, the service businesses out there, your AAA movers across town is ABC movers, you can target their name.
Yeah.
So with that said, Chris, the reason this comes up a lot of times is because people Google their own brand, their own names, and they see other people's ads there, either because other people are just showing up there unintentionally through Broadmatch, or they're actually targeting their name. So to talk about competitor keywords, you have to talk about branding keywords. And so when you talk about brand with your clients, Chris, what does that process look like? If a client asks you, should I advertise on my own keyword name, what do you tell them?
The first thing I ask is, I answer their question with a question. And I say, well, when you search for your name.
Such a rude thing to do. You need to work on that, because that does not make people feel good.
I know. But that's what I do. And the question is, when you search your name, or in the past when you have searched your own brand company name, do you see people advertising against you? And if the answer is no, and they never have, they just are wondering about it, then I say, let's not do it. You know, it's not really something that I would even want you to start getting into. If the answer is yes, we've experienced that, or it's happening right now, or it's happened in the past, then okay, let's set it up and let's do it in a controlled environment so that it does not completely run free and change the metrics of our campaign. We want to make sure it's in a exclusive campaign or ad group at least, and we're able to control that. That's usually my answer.
So you're kind of going on the answer of, if you search your name and you're organically listed there, number one, and no one's above you with an ad, there's no point to brand.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Now, what happens with me a lot of times, Chris, movers, dentist, I have some clients where the word dentist is actually part of their brand name. And then I have a lot of clients where the word movers is actually part of their name. And so if you have those words in the keyword phrase, people are going to be showing up on your brand search, even if they're not trying to.
Right.
Just targeting mover and dentist keywords. So for me, it comes up a lot. And they've done the search where they search their name. And then one of the first things they say is, I want to see my ad there, number one, when people search my name. I'm kind of the same way. One thing to note about branding, Chris, usually super cheap clicks, usually.
Yeah. But in your instance, when they have the core word as a company name, it can get really hairy.
It can get tricky.
Especially if they have requirements to show up first, because now we're talking, okay, there's really no bid limitation. You're going to start paying a lot. You know, it's getting into a bidding battle there, because that's going to be important to them. Because if there's anything I've seen clients do, it's search their own name and make sure they're showing up for those one or two words that they want to make sure. You know, it's one phrase and then they'll also search their name. And if they don't see themselves the way they want to see themselves, that's when you get that email. So, I mean, it's a big concern.
And I've got clients who their brand clicks come in at 80 cents, and it's great. And then I've got other ones that are like $5-6.
Yeah.
Because they pick up some kind of generic search as part of their name. So branding drives a lot of thought about competition, Chris. Now, the next kind of topic here when it comes to competitors is bidding on competitors' brand names. When a client gives you a list of competitors, what's your next move? Are you going to their website? Are you looking for how they refer to themselves? Are you setting this up in its own ad group?
I don't like to get into the bidding war with competitors. I don't like to be the guy that shows up on other brand names. And there's two reasons for this. One is it's expensive because you have no real authority on that word. That word's not relevant to you. You're not going to have it in your landing page, and you certainly shouldn't put it in your ad copy. So it's not going to be, you're going to be hit on quality score. So you're going to pay more. Okay. So relevancy and cost per click are going to be down. The other thing is, I don't have any numbers for this, but just from experience, I would say, I don't know, 80% of the time, people are just calling because they're wondering where their repair guy is. You know, they have a question about invoicing or something like that. Very rarely are they calling because they have a new job and they're wanting to get a price for it. It's not the kind of thing that, you know, you can get all these clicks, and in the end, if they call you and if they think maybe you have a better deal, there's so many ifs there. In the end, why even start that war? And then the third one is, that person can do the same thing to you. Imagine you do it to company XYZ. Now XYZ is going to see it and they're going to start doing it to you. It's a double whammy there. Now you're fighting a battle you started yourself.
If you do searches on some of the biggest AdWords agencies out there on their brand names, people, of course, are bidding on those people's names. But the biggest ones themselves, a lot of times, Chris, I see that they don't bid on competitor names. And that's kind of driven my insight on this, which is, okay, if the biggest guys in the game don't want to mess around with it, why should my clients? And I kind of come down on the same kind of points. Number one, most of the time when someone's searching for a competitor, they're going to be not looking for new business, but they're going to be looking for some issue with that competitor. Hmm. Or the other thing, Chris, they're dead set on hiring that competitor. That's why they search their name. And then the other thing, Chris, even if they are looking to hire any company for that service, plumbing, moving, whatever, when they search a competitor name, you still have to be good on the phone and know how to handle a competitor call and turn it into new business. And almost all my clients can't do that. So most of my clients, I recommend not doing this. We actually add competitor names as negatives quite a bit.
Yeah.
Before the show, Chris, you were talking about if you use a lot of broad keywords or broad match modified keywords, you'll start possibly showing up on competitor search terms.
Yeah.
And that's where you can find them and add them as negatives. But Chris, I got to say, I have clients, movers out there where this is working. And I told the client when we came in, I was like, hey, I see you're doing a lot of competitor. We recommend turning it off. We see it doesn't work for almost all of our clients. And he said, no, I know what I'm doing. I hear the customers out here. As soon as they realize I'm not the bigger guys in town, I talk about my pricing and how it's so much better and I can win their business. So it depends on the individual advertiser. I have seen it work. But I think, Chris, the biggest overriding factor why I don't like to get into it is most of my clients, like you, 1,000 to 5,000 a month. And if we can spend the full budget on the top keywords, let's do that and not mess around with this. The other big reason, Chris, I'm a pragmatist. I don't want to go to war with people.
Yeah.
And I've gone to war on AdWords and I have seen how tough it can get.
Yeah.
And it's not fun. I mean, you're watching that account all day long and it is stressful.
And every time someone clicks on an ad, you know, for your brand and someone's bidding against you, you're going to end up paying more for that. You're essentially working up the price of your own ads with your competitor. They're pushing your price up and you're pushing their price up for those same brand ads. It's just... Right. It's a wheel that I don't want to run. So,
yeah.
And this is, I think we should clarify, and this is for most instances. This is out the window for people that are already dealing with it. If you're already dealing with it, then we have some other things we're going to talk about. But if you're not in it, if it's not a problem for you, don't start it. I think that's the core message of these first 2 points.
Or if you are going to start it, end it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, Chris, I was just thinking about offline reality. It's like, how often do you go to, say, an eye doctor, and right outside the eye doctor's office is a billboard for another eye doctor in town?
You go to that one instead.
Right. Like, people, you don't do that. And
no,
it's just like,
no.
And I mean, we've competed before on like Elance and Upwork and that kind of thing. It's like, in our profiles, we didn't go out of our way to say, Chris Schaefer sucks.
Yeah.
If you were thinking about hiring him, hire me. It's, we just presented ourselves as
the best you can for you. I mean, because I'm thinking about my AC company I always hire here at my house.
You have Central Air?
Yeah, I do. Oh. I'm in the 1%.
Cheap Chris Schaefer?
Yeah.
Has Central Air?
I know. We live in Texas, so you have to. But
I said don't set it lower than 77.
Only can turn it on after 5 p.m. So.
All right.
But my AC guy, I love them. I love what they do. They charge what they've always been super nice to me. And if I searched for their name and called the wrong person and I found out I just called someone that wasn't them, I don't care what price they have. I trust these other guys. And most of the time, if somebody knows your competitor's name, they've taken the time to remember that name. What's the likelihood that they're going to like you instead if they've gone so far as to be branded on that one company? You know, they're probably married to that company, to that brand. I just don't like the idea.
I think it would, it also depends a lot on the industry, Chris, and you and I work with a lot of service companies. And when you need a new HVAC system, you don't call up and say, I need a new system. What's the price? Okay, come out today.
Mm.
You do your research, you find a company, use them over and over. Whereas if you're searching for maybe an electronics skateboard, or whatever, e-commerce search, and you did someone search, a brand search, and then another ad pops up that says 50% less on the price, maybe you're more open to clicking and buying at that moment. But for the service businesses, it's a tough nut to crack.
Yeah. All right, so next we've got something I think is probably underutilized. I don't use it a whole lot, but there are absolutely instances that it works well. Bidding strategies specifically for outbidding certain domains.
Right.
This is specific, really cool. Yep. So, and Jason, you want to explain kind of how this works, how you've used it in the past?
Yeah. So say you're ABC Movers, and every time you do your search, AAA Movers shows up above your ad, and you raise your bid from $5 to $10. They're still there. You raise your bid from 10 to 20. They're still there, and you can't get above them. What you can do is you can do this specific outbid bid domain strategy. Copy their domain, put it into your AdWords account with the strategy on the settings bidding area, and then tell Google, whenever you see their domain, increase my bid by 20% of theirs, basically, or whatever percent you want to use. And you can tell Google to always have you bid higher than them. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. And if you don't put a cap on that, assuming you still have budget, Google will bid really high for that.
Depending on what they do. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, essentially, if you both have a non-cap, really high budget and you have outbid the other guy in that fraction of a second, both of them are going to go immediately all the way to the top. And you're going to spend so much money. I mean, this could potentially be a horrible idea. So the fact is, I would put a cap on it. I would use it with discretion on the amount of keywords. You don't put this at a campaign level. You put this at more of a keyword or an ad group level.
And then you make that ad group or keyword into its own campaign.
Yeah, yeah, you can do that.
Because it's the settings, because it's the campaign settings.
That's true. But you can set that at the keyword level, though.
Oh, can you?
Yeah. You can set a specific keyword to have a certain bidding strategy.
Is this new interface, Chris?
No, Jason. You're supposed to go along with it. You're supposed to say, yeah, that's right, and then just move on like you know that.
Oh, so I am right and you are wrong.
No, you're wrong. I'm right. This is a real thing. I've done it.
You can set bidding strategies at the keyword level.
Yes, absolutely. I've done it.
You did it probably from like 1999 to like 2003 when you were like 39.
No. Okay, well.
We'll talk after the show.
While you're talking, I'm going to go check on it, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you go to that bidding settings area at the keyword level, okay?
Okay, you go ahead.
You do that.
So we'll move on.
Now, the one thing to keep in mind, you're giving up a ton of control if you set this strategy, because as soon as the other guy increases his bids, you're going up along with them.
Yeah.
Now, the next thing, Chris, here is you wrote down search terms showing ads on competitors' names unknowingly.
Yes.
Do you have any stories? How has this gotten you in trouble?
Well, not in trouble. I haven't gotten in trouble. I just got access to an account. I'm going to give you a real world example because everybody loves real world examples. I just got into account today. We're talking like an hour ago. And I looked through this account and they had a lot of broad match keywords and they had a lot of modified broad match. And the problem is it was in a service industry. The kind of thing where service industries have the same core term as their business name. Like you said, movers, like ABC Movers does moving.
Right.
So get into a lot of trouble because what was happening is they'll have, you know, this core service term and then that'll be a modified broad match. Maybe it'll be two words in there and one of them will be a modified broad. And then I look at the search terms and the search terms are overwhelmingly just competitors. You don't even realize that you're one of those jerks doing that, but you're showing up on a well-known brand that gets tons and tons of searches because they
tons of searches, yeah.
Because they're nationally advertised. It's a home name. I mean, everybody knows this company. So now you're spending tons on this competitor that you don't know. And that's why I say showing ads on competitors unknowingly. You're doing it because your keywords are allowing you to show on these competitors with no controls. The solution is to set this up and control it. You don't just let something run wild with broad match or modified broad match without having some type of control, a separate campaign with a budget or something like that.
This new client that you were helping out, did they realize they were showing up on the competitor name?
They did know that. I don't think they knew the extent that they were spending. Mm. But the surprising thing is that they had taken no steps to restrain it or control it.
What was their initial reaction? Like, were they like, oh, good, we want to keep doing it? Or were they like, oh, that probably won't work?
They said, okay, that's surprising that we are spending that much. I mean, we're talking thousands and thousands a month that they're spending. I mean, it's a lot. And they're surprised that they're spending that much. And then their second reaction is they were questioning like, well, is this a bad thing? They couldn't even decide if what they were doing was a good idea or bad idea because they thought, well, let's just ride coattails on this company and let their advertising bring people to our site.
Now, do they have conversion tracking in place?
No.
Okay. Well, there's the problem, yeah.
There's the problem.
That's why there's not clarity.
That's why I didn't start the conversation with they're spending thousands and thousands of dollars with no results. The fact is they're spending thousands and thousands of dollars without any type of ability to track the results.
Other than they think business is good and they know it's doing something.
If things are working well, I assume we're doing the right thing. That's
terrifying. Chris, I've often called you the great Chris Schaefer.
Okay.
And I'm going to withdraw that terminology for the time being because of the road you've led us down here. You can earn it back if you impress me again at some point.
Okay.
But for now, you'll be Chris. So I went to the settings page, Christopher, and all you can do is do it at the settings page. It's like, okay, that looked normal. I was like, let me go to the keywords. Mm-hmm. I highlighted an individual keyword like Chris likes to do. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the bid strategy button and I was like, oh no, maybe he's right.
Yeah.
Wrong. Your bid strategy can be changed in campaign settings. Ad group and keyword strategy overrides are no longer available.
All right. I see it too. You're right.
What? There was static. What'd you say?
This must have happened yesterday. That must have just changed. They just changed that. Google hasn't called me yet to tell me that they changed that. But thank you. Thank you for embarrassing me on national podcast. Let's move on.
You
want to
say...
No, I don't. No, I don't want to say that S word. No.
Now, Chris, one thing I do use... People often say, like, okay, if you don't want to do competitor keywords... This is me acting like one of my new clients. Okay, Mr. Rothman, if you don't want to do competitor keywords, and I'm sending you this long list of competitors to research, are we going to use them for anything? You're kind of making me feel like an idiot here for thinking about my competitors and actually studying my industry. Well, rest at ease, client. We can use competitor data for a lot, even if we don't target the keywords. Chris, we can look at the ad copy they're using when you do a Google search and see what their people are doing with their ad copy. And you can also look at competitors' websites to get regular keyword ideas and also ad copy ideas. That's a practice I have, Chris, to get a feel for the industry, get a feel for the kind of keywords that I want to be targeting. Is that something you do as well, just by default?
Yeah, absolutely. That's something I use all the time is when I first start my looking into a certain industry that I may not be familiar with, is I do a search and I look, how do these guys explain what they do to a layman in an ad? And I look at the keywords that they use. So, I mean, if I'm jumping into some complicated B2B company that I don't even understand, some technology company that's confusing to me, that's absolutely something I use all the time because I want to know, how do these guys do it? How do they explain it on their website? What kind of words do they use? What kind of words show their ads when I search certain types of terms? So, absolutely. The competitor websites and ads are very valuable for the purposes of insight into how they think about AdWords.
Right.
But I'll tell you one common thing I see all the people do all the time is they give their competitors too much credit and they think, these guys are on that keyword. I want to be on that keyword. Or they say this in their ads. I want to say that in my ads.
Or they do a long tail search and say, well, they're on this search. They must be targeting it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which where they have no idea that Google's like tracking their last 15 searches and, you know, showing that because of this or that. They might even be remarketed to. But the fact is, when it comes down to it, I usually ask this one question. If your company is not the same as another company, if you think you do better work than them, or at least different in any way, why would you want to copy what they're doing with AdWords? Do they have a guy that's a professional that's helping them with Google AdWords?
Do they have a Google Premier partner?
Yeah, it's really important to ask yourself that, because what are you about to do? You're about to copy and assume that what they're doing is a good thing. Maybe they don't have conversion tracking and this is a bunch of crap and it doesn't work at all for them.
I mean,
that's a real question to ask before you start spending thousands of dollars chasing after a competitor's random strategy that the intern came up with.
Now, Chris, to recap here, protect your brand. It's worth showing up, number one, on your own brand name. You want to show up organically, and if you can't because someone else's ad is between you at the top organic result and the search box at the top, then maybe it's worth running a brand campaign to protect your brand name and show up first with your brand. Regarding competitors, both you and I are not a fan of targeting competitor names. Most of the times it doesn't work out. There's better uses for the budget. There's no point in rattling a hornet's nest and starting a war. That said, if you're going to do it, understand that those clicks are different and those kind of leads are different and you have to be adept at handling those. If you're being attacked on your own brand name and you can't get to the number one spot, or if you want to rank higher on general searches and you just can never beat that one competitor, there is a campaign bid setting that you can choose called target outranking share or something like that. Can't miss it. And you target one individual domain that you always want to show up higher than. You can lose a lot of control because as high as they go, you'll go higher. Search terms,
review your search terms, see if you're showing up on competitors. If you don't want to show up, ask yourself why you're showing up. Should you make your keywords more modified? Should you add those competitor names as negatives? What should you use competitors for, Chris? Insights into keywords, insights into ad copy, general feels for the industry that you want to advertise in. Now, Chris, what if I told you there was something in AdWords where you could see how often competitors show up on the keywords you target?
No.
How often they show up when you show up? How often they show up above you? And then there's this fourth column that I don't know what it does. What if I told you all that, Chris?
I would be excited. And
wouldn't
I would say,
you be excited?
I'd be so excited. You should tell me about it right now.
Well, for everybody who listens week to week, this is called a tease. And for that weird 10% of our audience that binge listens right before bed in the dark, laying next to their wife or husband, wake up! You get to listen probably right now because you probably are binge listening. So we are teasing the blank, diddy, blank, diddy, blank. And we're not even going to tell you what it is. But next week, we are going to tell you how to access that data. We're going to dig into it. Chris, we're going to go over live results from some of my clients.
Yes.
And
I like it.
The number one thing I've noticed about that, the big bad monster that you think is out there chasing your ads around, usually they're not that scary.
It's not there. Yeah, I've done it all the time. I've done it to my clients and say, okay, here's the four guys that show right along with your ads. They're like, who's that? They don't even know who they are. They don't even recognize them. So,
but we will get into all that next week. I've put my time in. I've talked about AdWords content. I'm done with this episode.
Okay.
I get to talk to my friend Chris now.
Oh, no.
So, Chris, New Year's resolution. Do you have one?
No, I don't really do those. No. What about you?
To get more sleep.
Oh.
I just need more sleep.
That's not a good one.
Oh, that's a great one.
I want less sleep.
On average, what do you get a night?
7, 6, 5. So maybe 6.
6 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah. I get probably about 5 solid hours of sleep.
Oh, man.
5 to 6 on average. And I need to start getting more like 7. That's my New Year's resolution.
Goodness. I'll tell you what works for me is less screen time before bed.
Right.
Less screen time. Of course, I don't do that myself. I play video games up until the moment before I go to sleep and then read my Kindle to fall asleep. So,
wow. And you also read books because I know you're, I guess you read them on the Kindle, but you're back in the book club. So
yes,
maybe we'll break this book club out into the podcast one day. But for now, that's it. I can see Chris is getting nervous. Chris is getting uncomfortable. Chris schedules client calls for 2 minutes after we record our podcast, and 2 minutes before we record, because he's greedy and he doesn't value my time.
No, Jason, if we could have a podcast just called the Chris and Jason Talk About Nothing Show.
The Chris and Jason Week, and we just podcast all week long.
Last week with Chris and Jason, and we just talk about what we did last week, I would be there. So don't be confused by my lack of concentration interest, skills. Affection. By the end of a 1 hour conversation with you. It's
all
not
right.
That.
Well, with that said, it's late on a Thursday afternoon. We all know Chris is getting back to work, and we're going to have to sign off now. But everybody, thanks for sticking with us for another year. We're both going to be old men by the time this thing is over.
We're not quitting. Until AdWords quits, we're not quitting. And then after AdWords quits, we might just talk about the glory days.
The glory days. I was thinking about it, Chris. I'm going to be an old man one day with nothing to show for a career or anything. But I'm going to be able to tell people I was great one day.
Yeah, and you can watch the videos as I talk about it.
Watch the hours and hours of content.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We will be back next week. Social media, blog. Jason's left the building. Thanks for listening, guys.